4.5 centuries, the children of Israel, God's ancient people, existed in Egypt as slaves. After that time, God selects Moses to go into Egypt to lead his people out. Think about the task Moses was given. These are people who have known absolutely nothing except slavery for more than 4 centuries. As far as warfare, as far as defending themselves, clueless. But Moses leads them out of Egypt. They miraculously cross the Red Sea and they come to Sinai. Moses goes up to the top of Mount Sinai and he receives the Ten Commandments. Those Ten Commandments were the core elements of the entire law of Moses in 10 statements. Moses, as he comes down from the mountain back to the people, Moses sees that the people have lapsed into sin. The sin they are engaging in, of all things, is idolatry. They have turned from Jehovah. Moses is infuriated. And Moses goes to Aaron, who's been left in charge, and Moses asks Aaron, what is happening here? And Aaron begins to make excuses for the sinfulness of the people. Well, Moses, you've been gone a long time. You were just gone, you know, and on it goes. And so here is Aaron's excuses for sinful behavior. But brethren, those excuses didn't work. And those excuses still don't work. We all have a responsibility with our lives. In words that cannot be misunderstood. In Romans 14 and in verse 12, Paul said, so then every one of us will give an account of himself to God in the day of judgment. No excuses. No excuses. So Moses then comes out and Moses asks this question. The question is found in Exodus chapter 32 and in verse 26. Moses says to the people, who is on the Lord's side? What a question. Who is on the Lord's side? When one begins to read through the Bible, there are all kinds of interesting questions. In Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 9, God asked Adam, Adam, where are you? In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 9, God asked Cain, Cain, where is your brother Abel? Job asks a question in Job 14 and verse 14, if a man dies, shall he live again? Jesus asked the question in Matthew 16, 26, what would it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The writer of Hebrews asked the question in Hebrews 2 and in verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect this salvation? But of all the questions in the Bible, the one that Moses asked when he descended Sinai was a very pointed and direct question. Moses says, listen, who is on the Lord's side? And here was the thrust of his question. There comes a time when we have to decide where we're going to stand and who we're going to stand with. There comes a time in life where, okay, I got to decide where I'm headed here. That time occurred at the end of Joshua's life in Joshua 23 and verse 14 when he gathered the people around and Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. You going to serve the gods on the other side there? Or are you going to come with Jehovah? What was Joshua was saying? Look, this day, right now, this is choosing day. Choose. That time came on top of Mount Carmel in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, when Elijah was dealing with the prophets of Baal. Elijah asked them the question in 1 Kings 18, 21, how long are we going to hesitate between two opinions? If God is God, serve him. If it's Baal, then serve Baal. What are you saying, Elijah? I'm saying you got to choose right here, right now. Who's on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? The Lord has just delivered you from Egypt. You have miraculously crossed the Red Sea. I'm gone longer than you think I should be gone, and you lapse back into idolatry. Listen, who's on the Lord's side? And all of us, each of us, can look back at our own life and see all of the goodness and blessings that God has done for us. Look, who's going to stand with God now? Whose side are we going to be on? How are we going to live? Moses' question, who is on the Lord's side, brings two more questions to light. Two questions. Question number one, what does it mean to be on the Lord's side? What does that mean? Who's on the Moses, what does that mean? Brethren, to be on the Lord's side means that we have a trusting faith in the Lord. Trusting faith in the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must have faith. The problem with faith is that most people don't know what it is. Biblical faith is not just something that is had in our head. It's something that is seen in our lives. Biblical faith is not just this intellectual exercise about, yeah, I believe in God. Look, no. Faith is seen. The paralytics who punched a hole in the roof to let their friends down in Mark 2, the Bible says when they let him down, the Bible says in Mark 2 about verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, you can see it. What does it mean to? It means a trusting faith. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Listen to the words. Trust, that is, rely on, depend on, have confidence in. Listen to the words. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's inward. trust in the Lord with all your heart and in all your ways. That's your outside. Acknowledge Him. What does it mean? What does it mean to be on the Lord? It means that we have a trusting faith in the Lord. Now, instead of trying to define it, let's look at it. In the book of Romans chapter 4, Paul is talking about the faith of Abraham. God had made Abraham a promise way back that he would have a son that would bless all nations. But Abraham reached a point in his life where he was an old man and his wife Sarah had gone beyond childbirthing years and there was still no child. But God had promised him, you will have a son, and that son, that seed of his, will give birth ultimately to the Messiah. Listen to me. The story of the Old Testament, the story of the Old Testament is how God preserved that seed to the coming of the Messiah. But there's still no child. This is trusting faith. Romans 4 and verse 20, here's Abraham's faith. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith and he gave glory to God. Fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. Listen, what Abraham knew, look, God has made me a promise, and I don't know what took so long, I don't know how it can be now, but his faith never wavered. God said it, and that settled it. That's trusting faith in God. That is what it means to be on the Lord's side. People say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Wrong. If God said it, that settles it whether we believe it or not. What we do with it doesn't matter. What? Listen, Moses called them out. Who's on the Lord's side? What does that mean? It means trusting faith in God. If God said it, then just get on with it because it'll happen. What does it mean to be on the Lord's side? What does that mean? The second thing it means is that we walk in agreement with God. There's a little statement over in the book of Amos. This, you read the statement and you think, man, that thing is so simple. And yet, there's just layers and layers of truth and application in that statement. In Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, Amos makes this statement. He said, how can two people walk together unless they agree? Think about what is it. Now listen to me. Think about what is involved for two people to walk together. You say, well, that's simple. No. Think about what's involved there. Let's say that you and I are going to go on a walk together. Well, what's that involve? Well, first, we have to determine, okay, well, when are we going to walk? Because you may show up tomorrow and walk, and I'm going to show up Wednesday and walk. Well, we're not walking together. So when are we going to walk? So we say, okay, tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, we're going to walk. Okay. Well, where are we going to meet? Because tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, you may be here, and tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, I may be at the Lakeside Mall looking for you. So we have to decide when we're going to do it. We have to decide where we're going to do it. So we say tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock in the parking lot. So we get here tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock in the parking lot. We still can't walk together. Now we have to decide, okay, what direction are we going to walk in? You could go toward our drive. I'd go toward Hoover. So then we are, okay, we will decide which direction. Then we have to decide at what pace are we going to walk. You walk 5 miles an hour. I walk 1 mile an hour. We're both walking, but we're not walking together. Then we have to decide, well, how long are we going? How far are we going to walk before we turn around and come back? Are you listening to what I'm telling you? How can two people walk together unless they agree? That statement is simple. No, that statement is great. Because you and I, in order for us to walk together, we have to decide. When are we going to do it? Where are we going to do it? What time are we going to do it? What direction are we going to do it? What speed are we going to do it? And when are we going to turn back? When we agree on all of that, then we can walk together. Brethren, we have to agree on God and with God to walk with God. You can't go your way and him go his way. We don't have a way. Listen, Moses is furious. Moses is furious. Who's on the Lord's side here? What does that mean? That means we have a trusting faith in God. He said it, we're moving on it. And if we die, when we get to the judgment, we're going to say we died moving on what you said. What does that mean? It means we're going to walk in agreement with God. When God says we're going to go this way, it's not up for me to fuss with him. It's not a, well, here's what I think we ought to do. Doesn't matter what you think we ought to do. What does it mean? What does it mean to be on the Lord's side? Third thing it means is we're going to obey him. Moses came down from the mountain. Moses came down from the mountain. Tablets of stone. 10 commandments are written on it. Do you know what the first commandment on that stone was? No other gods before me. And he walks down there and there they are. Worshiping a golden calf. He's coming down. They broke the first one. You got to obey. You got to obey. Too many people are messed up on what it means to be on the Lord's side. Well, I'm on the Lord's side, and what they mean by that is they got this strange belief that somehow, somewhere, God exists. No, you not. No, no. A trusting faith in God. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to wrap my mind completely around it. What I have to understand is that that's what he said. I'm going to get in agreement with him. Not halfway, but all the way. I'm in agreement with him, and I'm going to obey. That's what it means. That's what it means to be on the Lord's side. He can't go this way and you go that way and talk about being on the Lord's side. Question number two, quickly. Question number two. Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? Well, what does that mean? We've talked about that. Now, let's ask a second question to it. Who is on the Lord's side? Boy, there's the question. Who is on the Lord's side? Four things very quickly. Who's on the Lord's side? Number one, you need to write some of these down. Who's on the Lord's side? Listen to me. who's on the Lord's side? Listen to me. Number one, not everybody who thinks they are. Not everybody who thinks they are. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Just because somebody says, Lord, Lord, doesn't mean that they're on the Lord's side. Who is on the Lord's side? Not everybody who thinks they are. That's who. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I'm telling you? Now, who's on the Lord's side? Not everybody who thinks they are. Number two, who's on the Lord's side? Those who believe in God. Those who believe. Now, let me make this personal. And I'll ask it like this because this is me. And I talk about me when I get ready. And most of you. Why do I believe in God? Why do I believe in God? First, I believe in God because of what I see. Because of what I see. In the morning, I see the sun come up. When the seasons change, I see trees bud, leaves come, turn green, season changes, they turn colors, they fall to the ground, and it starts all over again. I go out at night and see the sun set. I go out at night and see the stars come in the sky. Listen, why do I believe? I believe in God because of what I can see. Listen, how else do you explain what I see? What's the other explanation for this? Listen, it's the oldest argument in the world, but it is what it is. If the universe does anything in the world, the universe works by a design. I have never gone out at the end of the day and seen the sun come up and not go down. It's all in order. There's an order here. There's a design. Listen, it's old, but it's true. Design demands a designer. I believe in God because of what I see. Because how else do you explain that? This is an accident? Really? Look. Give me a minute. This table right here. Let me tell you something about this. Look at it. Material objects do not create themselves. I don't know of anybody on this planet who thinks that a material object like this table over eons and eons and eons of time evolved into exactly this table with all that fancy print across the front of it and them nice little triangle legs. Listen, nobody believes that over eons of time that this table just evolved. Everybody understands material objects don't create themselves. But the universe? How much more intricacy is there in the universe than there is in that table? This can't, but all of this does. Look, I'm sorry. How gullible are you? Scientists tell me, not me personally, but that there are 100 billion cells in the average human body. I don't even know how many that is, other than that's a lot. Listen to what I'm saying. There's 100 billion cells in the average human body. And for our bodies to function and life to go on, those 100 billion cells must work together with each other. But it's accident. It's accident. I can't get any four of us to go back there in that office and close the door and agree on much more than what the day, what today of the week it is. But these 100 billion cells that are racing through my body, they're all just working together, and it just happened. Listen, you know better than that. I believe in God because of what I can see. It's the most reasonable, the most logical explanation. Either there is a first great cause, a wise and supreme being who did it, or just all of this order and design happened by itself, even though now there is no evidence that it's still going on. I believe in God because of what I can see. Brethren, listen to me. I believe in God because of answered prayer. You could never ever convince me that God doesn't exist simply based on prayers I've had answered in my life. You could never do it. Ask, and it'll be given you. Seek, you shall find, and knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 7. Listen. Who is on the Lord's side? Not everybody who thinks they are. Who is on the Lord's side? Those who believe in God are on the Lord's side. I believe in Him because of what I can see. I believe in Him because of answered prayer throughout all of my life. And I believe in Him because the book that He gave us has withstood time, and in all the time has never been found to be incorrect. And that book says there's one God. Who is on the Lord's side? Not everybody who thinks. Who's on the Lord's side? Those who believe in God. Number three, who is on the Lord's side? Nobody who's in a man-made organization. Nobody who's in a man-made organization. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 13 says that any tree that is not will be rooted up that my Heavenly Father has not planted. What is He talking about? In the next chapter, you find out what He's talking about. In Matthew 16, 18, when Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. But every tree that God didn't plant will be rooted up. The old preacher used to say, rooting season's coming. Who is on the Lord's side? Not everybody who thinks they are. Who's on the Lord's side? Those who believe in God. Who is on the Lord's side? Nobody who's a part of a man-made institution, because it isn't real. Finally, who is on the Lord's side? No lukewarm Christian. No lukewarm Christian is on the Lord's side. Teacher was teaching little kids. The lesson was on apathy. And there was a kid in the back row misbehaving. Wasn't listening, didn't care about anything that was going on in class. So the teacher's up on the board, she's wrote down apathy, and she's explaining apathy, and she sees this kid in the back, so she finally stopped. She says, young man, stop. Young man, you tell the class, what is apathy? Boy looked up and said, teacher, I don't know, and I don't care. Apathy. I don't know when I... Ask me when the holiday's over. I'll tell you what that means. Listen to me. There's a lot of Christians, they don't know, and what's worse, they don't care. Moses came down from that mountain, and Moses says, listen, everybody stops right here. And everybody decides, right here, right now, who is on the Lord's side? That's the question we got to answer. That's a question we got to answer this clear. We can mess up on something else, but this is a question, this got to be answered right. Because everything depends on what this answer is. Who is on the Lord's side? Tonight, are you on the Lord's side? Let us be standing together as we sing.